such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hello, this is Mike Stark, sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who often sits in for Father Anthony here on listener-supported WNDZ 750 AM. It is my pleasure to have my best friend in the whole world here with me to share this hour. He's also the reason the Truth and Life audio Bible exists. That would be Mr. Carl Amari. Carl, thanks for being here.
Hey, Mike. Great to be here. Thanks.
We're on the opposite sides of the table today.
Usually you're on my show.
Well, for once.
This is very different for me here, but I love it.
Get in
I
line.
Love not having to worry about the controls or anything. All I have to do is talk.
You're good at that. So anyway, Carl and I have known each other for a long time, long time, but we played baseball together. We met in the mid-90s after our daughters were both born. They're now college graduates, and played baseball together for a long time, and I want to get into... You might want to say hello to some of your baseball buddies that are out there in radio land.
Reed Alden and, so many. Billy, and hopefully they're all listening.
I doubt it.
And we have a game tonight, so hopefully we'll win that.
Well, if you play, you guys will win because you're the best leadoff hitter in the league.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for saying that, even though it's not true.
Well, it is now because I'm not playing. But anyway... you have had a love affair with old-time radio since when? Tell everybody a little bit about it. We're going to get into how the way that the Truth and Life, we got some great stories about how Truth and Life came to be, but we're going to kind of build up to it. We've got some special treats for you during this hour. Believe me, this will be a very entertaining show, thanks to Carl. So let's get started with your background and growing up on old-time radio in the 70s.
Yeah, when you say old-time radio, you know, people may not realize what we're actually talking about. We're talking about a time before television, you know, when these when radio shows were really the way people were entertained. There was comedy, mystery, drama, detective shows, westerns, and all of the stars of the movies appeared on radio, and they did these, you know, great dramas like The Shadow and Gunsmoke and Dragnet, Boston Blackie, The Whistler, Inner Sanctum, and all the comedians were on the radio. Jack Benny, Abbott and Costello, Burns and Allen, Lucille Ball, she had her own radio show. And I discovered these shows when I was 12 in the 1970s, so far after they were off the radio already. And I heard a show called Suspense, and Cary Grant was the star of that show. It was called On a Country Road. I wish we had time to play it, but we can't play it right now. But
we're used to having 2 or 3 hours to work with. Today we only have an hour.
Yeah. This show was really great, and it just grabbed my imagination, and I just decided I love these shows. I'm going to learn all I can about them. I started to collect them and then eventually made it into a career. I started licensing these shows from Jack Benny's estate and from George Burns. I carry a picture of George Burns and me in my wallet wherever I go because George Burns really helped me out. He licensed me the Burns and Allen show, and then he introduced me to all of these people, Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis, and I got to be friends with so many of the people from the golden age of movies and TV.
What was George Burns like? We all remember him probably from Oh God and, you know, his funny, you know, shows that he would do as he was getting older. But what was he like as a human being, as a man?
Yeah, I mean, he was a lot like what you would think. I mean, he was very, very friendly, very knowledgeable, obviously.
Smelled like cigars.
He did smoke cigars, and he loved to be around his fans, and he loved to read his fan mail. I mean, he would read his fan mail in his office every morning. He would sign autographs and send pictures out. You know, I mean, he would sign the pictures, and then someone from his staff would send them out. He loved doing that, and we would go to the Beverly Wilshire Country Club, and he would take me to lunch. And he would have, generally for lunch, he would have like a bowl of soup and a half a sandwich. And then he would have two martinis. And then he said he would go home and, because I'd say to him, what do you do, you know, during your day? He's like, well, after lunch, I have my two martinis. I go home and I take a nap. He said, and then I go out with the ladies.
How late would he stay out?
I mean, he would go
Did
out.
You ever out to Hollywood with him?
No, I
night
never
on the town.
I never went out at night with him, but
shoot.
He told me that he would get up in the morning and exercise. He liked to do his sit-ups and things like that at home, and then he'd go into the office and sign his open his mail and things. He loved to do. He loved to be connected with his fans.
Did he work out with Jack LaLanne?
Yeah, no, but he was a real little. He was really a little.
How
guy.
Tall was he?
I mean. I'm only 5'7", and I sort of towered over him. He was probably like 5'4", you know, and he was thin, you know, and I'll never forget his office. It was in Hollywood, and it was just a very long, narrow office with all paneling and pictures of all these, you know, him and Gracie and all these stars. And then he had a beautiful painting, an oil painting of Gracie above his desk with lights on it. And I remember the very first time I went to his office and I walked in and I was like, oh, wow. Hey, you know, he was at the end and he had a suit on and a tie. And I said, oh, wow. Hey, George, how are you? I had talked to him on the phone a bunch of times. And he said, hey, Carl. And I said, wow, look at all these pictures. I said, look at, you know, there was all these amazing, you know, pictures of him and Gracie.
Is that what you had your office? Your office looks like that with, you got
yeah,
George Burns
yeah.
and, you know, who else do you have in there? Heather Locklear
yeah.
and some really, interesting people, Clint Eastwood, all the people you know.
Yeah, and so I said to him, hey, George, these are awesome pictures. He goes, you like those pictures? I go, yeah. He goes, everybody in those pictures is dead except for me. he was a kidder. I mean, he was a lot of fun.
He was. So you started, how did you first get on the radio, Carl? Because that's, I mean, you're just some young kid. Like, how did you... you know, facilitate this career that has turned into, I might add, the number one radio show in Chicago is on the weekends, WGN Radio Theater, which has been going strong for some time now. You've been doing radio since the early 80s.
Yeah, I've actually been on the radio, on various radio stations since 1981. The very first radio station I had ever on was the college radio station. I was going to Triton College in 1981. For 2 years, I went to Triton, and they had a radio station there. And so I was a communications major, and I was able to have a radio show. And then I have not been off the air since 1981. I've been fired from a lot of radio stations over the years. So I've gotten to see a lot of radio stations.
Really?
Yeah, but now I'm on...
I always thought you were just taking a better deal.
Yeah, no. Now I'm on WGN. And so far, so good. I've been on the air 3 years there.
Tell us a little bit about WGN Radio Theater.
Well, 3 years ago, Todd Manley, who's the president of the radio station program director, called me and said, hey, you know, we like these classic radio shows. We think there's a time slot for it here at WGN. How would you like to do a show here? And I said, I would love it. So I met with Todd. And he said, you know, we could do Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 p.m., give you 2 or 3 hours on Saturday, 2 or 3 hours on Sunday, and you can call it whatever you want, you know, if you want to call it the Carl Amari Show or whatever. I said, no, you know, I think it would be better to call it the WGN Radio Theater because people will know that it's radio drama. And I was hosting a different show at the time, a national show, with Lisa Wolf, who you know.
Who?
And
is she listening? Are you listening,
Lisa? I don't
know.
I don't know if Lisa's listening. She might be still sleeping because we did the show last night. I would be sleeping
She's
right
probably
now.
Hungover.
Yeah. And
3 hours with you will give you a hangover.
Yes, it will. And so I said, you know, Lisa, we have an opportunity to go over to WGN and do this show. And so we've been doing it since for 3 years.
April.
In fact, this weekend was our 300th show.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And then you're doing the national show, the Hollywood 360. And that's on how many stations across the country?
That's 180 radio stations across the country.
And it's into Canada as well. So.
Yeah. It's not here in Chicago because our Chicago affiliate is WGN.
Right. And you'd been on WIND, WBBM.
MAQ.
WMAQ going to make me rich.
WJKL, WJJD. As I said, I've been fired from a lot of radio stations.
Well, this time you didn't get fired. And I mean, the show lives on, and what you've done to create these shows at another level, kind of dovetailed into our Truth in Life Bible. But you've also taken old-time television shows and created radio dramas out of them, like The Twilight Zone. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, there was really like three shows I watched on TV that I just absolutely loved.
Kangaroo, Bozo Circus, and Ray Rayner?
Well, I did watch all of those, but the ones I was really, really enamored with was Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. I loved that show. And then I really loved Batman.
What?
Batman.
I don't know that show.
Yeah, never heard of it?
Never.
Adam West?
Who's that guy? And he was your your voice for your show until he died last summer.
He was my announcer for years and
years.
We were really
close
friends.
You never introduced me to him. And
no.
You know Julie Newmar, too.
Yeah, yeah. Adam West and I became really close friends, and he was the voice. He was the announcer on Hollywood 360 for many years. And then I loved The Twilight Zone. I thought The Twilight Zone was a really, really great television show. I watched all those many, many times. So in the, I would say it was probably the late 1990s, early 2000, I said, you know, this would be fun to take a TV show and turn it into a radio show. Because, you know, as you know, these radio shows, The Lone Ranger, Jack Benny, Dragnet, they all started on radio, and then they made the transition to television. I thought it would be really fun to take a television show and turn it into a radio show. And because The Twilight Zone was so imaginative, you know, and there was in... But when you watch The Twilight Zone, as good as it is, a lot of times you can see the makeup's not that great, and there's like a zipper on the alien's costume.
The spaceship is made out of dishes and plates.
Exactly. So I thought, wow, you know what? The imagination, which is boundless, and you can create these huge, you know, epic scenes in your imagination. You can do anything on radio. It's harder to do it on television or in the movies. On radio, with just sound effects and music and great acting, you can create the biggest scenes. So I thought it would be a very interesting radio program. So I took The Twilight Zone. I went and licensed the rights from CBS and the Rod Serling estate and turned it into a radio show.
Now, you've got all this stuff available for people if they want to get it from you. You've got a library, and it's, you know, dirt cheap. How would somebody go about getting that from you if they wanted to?
The best place to go to get these classic radio shows and things is classicradiostore.com. Classicradiostore.com. Okay. Thousands of shows there available.
Now, what was your favorite Twilight Zone issue? Of every one of the shows, which was your favorite episode?
Gosh, probably Time Enough at Last maybe was one of my favorite ones. Or there's so many great ones.
Which one was that? I've seen them all, but I forget.
The other one, too, that there's another one that I really think is fun, too. It's called, I'm having a...
Quiz show. I mean, I can't believe this.
Yeah,
you're on the radio.
Think,
this is your domain.
There's another one that I really, 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 really like of The Twilight Zone. I'll have to come back.
Maybe Nick can help us out with that. He probably knows over there in the control room. So Time Enough at Last, who was in that?
No, in my episode?
No, on the TV, because nobody's probably heard your episodes.
I'm trying to think. Time Enough at Last on the radio show. I'm having a blank.
On the TV show.
On TV. I'm having a blank.
You know,
right
the
now.
One I liked the best was the one where Burgess Meredith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with the glasses.
And he was a reader. He'd avid reader. Yeah. And he had all these books to himself in his classes.
Tim Kazurinsky did the radio version of that one. That was a great one.
Well, you got a break here. We'll get back to the stories after our sponsors tell us why we're here. Thanks, guys.
Floors as low. Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Good evening, friends of the inner sanctum. This is your host to welcome you in through the squeaking door. We're having a party tonight for two of my favorite corpses. I call them Romeo and Juliet. They're newly dead, you know. Yes, she's the daughter of a famous society murderer, and he's the pride of the East Side morgue. Oh, they're so happy together in their mausoleum built for two.
You're listening to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari, and to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, gosh, sorry.
Carl.
Sorry, Mike.
This is listener-supported WNDZ, Catholic Radio.
I heard the old-time radio show. I thought I was on the air at WGN.
What are you doing?
Sorry, this is your show. Apologize.
It is. Don't you forget it, buddy.
Apologize.
So, you were actually on the air less than 12 hours ago, so you haven't had much sleep, have you?
No. Maybe that's why I couldn't remember that Burgess Meredith was the star of Time Enough at Last on the radio, on television, and
right.
Tim Kazurinsky did the episode for me on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's all forgiven. We're Catholic and we forgive. And,
that's true.
You know. So anyway, I'm happy to have you here and share some of the old radio shows with the listeners, as well as talking about our Catholic projects. So let's dig in, shall we?
Well, before we do that, I just want to mention that that clip that we just heard was Inner Sanctum. Now, Inner Sanctum was one of the best mystery drama shows of the golden age of radio. It was on the air a long, long time. Hyman Brown created that show. And years later, and people may remember the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Do you remember that show with E.G. Marshall?
I was into TV.
Yeah, well, in the 70s, there was a revival of the classic radio shows, a show called the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And Hyman Brown, who also created Inner Sanctum, created CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And he sort of recycled that creaking door, and they had that on the... So if you heard that creaking door and thought, what, it sounds familiar... Well, the CBS Radio Mystery Theater with E.G. Marshall, which was on the air for many, many years, people nowadays sort of remember that show. They may not remember Inner Sanctum. It was very popular.
I remember the creaking door from Creature Feature.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for a surprise from that show if you're old enough to remember it. But how did he create that sound?
Yeah, you know, I had the very good fortune of being friends with Hyman Brown. He licensed me his radio shows. And one time, I'll never forget one time, we were in New York, and we were having dinner. And I remember meeting Peter O'Toole, who was at the next
fantastic
table.
Yes, yeah. Peter O'Toole.
Peter
yes.
O'Toole was at the and of course he knew Hyman, and he introduced me to Peter O'Toole. It was very, very cool. And I remember having dinner with him and talking about not only Inner Sanctum but some of the other shows he created in CBS Mystery Theater. And I asked him that very question: what was the whole thing with the creaking door? How did that all come about? He said there was a studio at CBS where he was working on other shows. And there was this in the basement. There was a little studio that had a door to go into it, and it was old and rusty. And every time you opened that door, it would creak and moan and groan. I mean, every single time. And he turned to an assistant and said, "You know what? I'm going to make that door a star." And they took the whole thing out of there, and he
brought it to a studio.
Brought it into the big studio, and they would open the door. They also had a chair. They also had, if that failed for any reason, that door, which he said they had a fail safe, they had a chair just like what we're sitting in here. It was an old chair, and it creaked the same way, like that. And so they had both there. The sound effects men were ready to go because, you know, these shows were live. These were not taped. This was a live broadcast.
Like our show right now. Like our show's live. Yeah, if you
exactly.
forget something, it's
like
okay.
Like I forgot.
Commercial
about
break.
Burgess Meredith.
But, a lot of the sound effects, I mean, some of the stuff that was used to entertain people back then was, you know, just tremendous. Last week talked a little bit about, next week I'm going to have Jerry George from Shalom World Television on to talk about our Cardinal George documentary. And thanks to you for the Cinnamon Bear, because interviewing Cardinal George's sister, we talked about what they did as kids, and she said, every Christmas, they'd listen to the Cinnamon Bear. So Carl was nice enough to give me a copy of the Cinnamon Bear to take to Margaret Kane, Cardinal's sister, and she loved it because it reminded of her childhood growing up with her brother, the future Cardinal Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Chicago. But to just see the way the production went, where they staged two kids playing her and him, sitting around listening to the radio, and you can attest to this, that's what families did after supper. That's what they said back then, supper. Do people even sit around the table right now for family dinners? People are always on the run. They got their phones, and it's just. But back then, tell us a little bit about life in the 30s and 40s with the radio and how the families used to go about living their lives.
Well, you hit it on the head. There were no cell phones. There were no television. There was not computers, so they weren't distracted. They could actually gather together as a family unit and listen to radio while they were eating or just sitting around. You know, maybe dad was reading the newspaper and the family would gather around. I mean, this still happened in the 50s when television, you know, Ed Sullivan Show, it was a big thing. Yeah, I remember gathering with my whole family, watching the Ed Sullivan Show or Laughing or whatever
Fulton
show.
Fulton Sheen.
Yeah.
Fulton Sheen had it.
Sure,
he was the number one show
absolutely.
For a while.
But back in the 1930s and 40s and even in the early 50s when these radio shows were thriving, that's exactly what they did. They didn't have these other distractions. They would sit together as a family and listen to these shows. And the great thing about, we were talking about this earlier, the imagination. You could have 10 people in the room, and there can be a person talking on one of these radio shows, and they all have a different thought of what this person looks like, but it's all fine. You know, it doesn't matter what they thought as long as it was their imagination. And that's why sometimes when you read a book and then you see the movie, you think the book is better than the movie because your imagination is so powerful creating those pictures. It's tough to compete with your imagination.
To live up to that expectation.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good point. I honestly, for as long as I've lived, I've never thought of it like that. People do say, I like the book better. But you just hit the nail on the head yourself there, Mr. Carpenter. you're right, because you imagine the people looking a certain way. Maybe you don't like the actor they picked for the certain role, and you're like, oh, I don't like that guy. And you would have loved the movie if it was the actor you liked, but you may not like the person playing the role, or you may not like the way they did the role. So that's very intriguing.
And these stars, back in the golden age of radio, they only had their voice to convey the scene. And which is really interesting, because when you think about an actor on screen or on television, they have their physicality, you know, to also create the character, not only their voice, but what their, you know, their mannerisms and the way they look and their, you know, the look on their face and their the body movement. Where on radio, they didn't have any of that. It was all had to be intoned through their vocal ability, which is incredible to me.
Well, and again, in the 80s, with the advent of MTV, the first song they ever played on MTV was by the Buggles, called Video Killed the Radio Star. Because if you had a beautiful voice, but you weren't attractive, it was like that lady that won The Voice or whatever show it was, the Canadian, Susan Boyle.
Yeah.
And she wasn't attractive looking, but her voice was spectacular. And then they dressed her up a little bit, but still, they were, you know, that was an obstacle that some of these people didn't have to deal with when they were doing the radio shows.
I think
shows.
That's why I've always done well in radio. I have a face for radio.
I was going to get to that, but let's now get to the Truth and Life audio Bible. And the Bibles you've created, you created the award-winning A Word of Promise before. Let's delve into a little bit about how we did the movie, the Madison movie, and talk a little bit about Madison and get into the story of how the number one Vatican-endorsed Catholic Truth and Life audio Bible came to being.
Yeah, well, going back to my childhood, I not only loved television and then learned to love radio, but I also loved listening to audio Bibles growing up. And but they were all single reader audio Bibles. I used to listen to the James Earl Jones Bible, and I listened to the Alexander Scorby Bible. And although they were very well done, they were only just a single reader, basically reading the pages of the Bible. And so I had always sort of dreamed of marrying the two of my loves, the radio drama and the Bible, you know, audio Bible. And I thought it would be really fun. I always had this, even as a probably a teenager, thinking about the idea of hiring great actors, you know, celebrities of today to, and obviously believers, they'd have to be believers, and hire them and create an audio Bible. So that I always wanted to do that. I found myself in Rome on the set of The Passion of the Christ. And how that all happened was I produced a movie called Madison, as you know. Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion, was the star of Madison. So Jim and I became very close friends. We're still very close friends today. And he called me one day and said, I just met with Mel Gibson. He wants me to play Jesus.
Before you get to that, tell our listeners a little bit about Madison, because I truly believe this is a underappreciated, very well done film. A lot of people now, it's, you know, past 10 years old, people haven't seen it, or they maybe don't know about it. It's a family film. It's a true story about powerboat racing. It's a gearhead movie. No, it's not. It's a family story. And you've got Anakin Skywalker, Jake Lloyd playing the kid. This was right after he'd finished
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful movie. So talk a little bit about that. And
yeah,
that Jim wasn't even your first choice, because I remember you bouncing Kurt Russell and and Viggo Mortensen off me.
Yeah, I met
saying,
with
who
Viggo.
Who do we want to do?
I met with Viggo, and
Him and Jim weren't big guys at that point.
You know, and almost cast him, and met with a whole bunch of actors. Jim was not our first choice. You know, a lot of times when you're doing a movie, scheduling is very important. Like you have a certain schedule where you have certain people that can be in it. Like Bruce Dern could only do it at this point. You know, Bruce Dern was in it, played a great role in it.
Well, the Catwoman, Julie Newmar, became the Catwoman because, you know, the original Catwoman was busy and she couldn't do it. So Julie Newmar got to do the role.
Yeah, and then she became known for that.
Lee Merriweather.
Yeah. So I produced a movie called Madison. Kurt Russell, I think, was our first choice.
He was, yeah.
And that didn't work out. Bill Paxton, we met with him. It didn't work out. So anyway, I happened to be in the theater watching a movie called Thin Red Line, and I saw Jim in it. We'll get back to that after a break, right?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
You'd think it was your show.
It is. I'm taking it over.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the Sacrament of Reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
that's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first?
He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
that's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base.
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
Around. I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Guy's name on first base.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
who's
second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's begin.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second?
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base? Look, you got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He is center field. Look, you got a pitcher on the team?
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today. A commerce pitcher.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the field. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I said.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
Same as you.
Don't change him around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I'm an idiot. Come on.
That classic radio clip was brought to us by my good friend Carl Amari of the WGN Radio Theater on the weekends, the number one show in Chicago. This is listener-sponsored WNDZ 750 AM Chicago. I am Mike Stark, the producer of the Truth and Life Bible, along with my the man who actually made the Truth and Life Bible, Carl Amari, sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who sits in for Father Anthony here at St. Stanislaus. So, Carl, when we were when we last left before the break, you were talking about how Jim Caviezel brought you over to Rome.
Yeah.
To watch some movie he was involved in.
Yeah, just this little movie called Passion of the Christ. And he called me and said, you know, I just met with Mel Gibson. He wants me to play Jesus. And it's really weird because Jim and I had become friends because he starred in a movie that I produced called Madison. And so we were friends, and after Madison, he met with Mel, and Mel said he wanted him to play Jesus in a movie. And Jim called me and said, you know, this is the weirdest thing. I'm 33 years of age, which is the year Jesus died, and my initials are J.C. He's like, I think I have to do this. And so when he was filming that movie, I went out and visited him. I was there for about a month. And
nice vacation.
Yeah, was there
for you.
And then actually started working on the film a little bit too, and I stayed longer.
What did you do?
Staying. Well, I just helped. You know, help with the film.
You probably were one of the unbelievers.
Yeah,
crucified.
Never.
No.
but I'll never forget being actually standing behind Mel Gibson, and watching him direct. And there was Jim and. Doing just such an amazing job. I mean, how he did not get nominated for that film, I'll never know. I mean, he was unbelievable in the role of Jesus. And so that's when it really all kind of culminated for me, the fact that I wanted to do an audio Bible, a celebrity-voiced audio Bible, and here's my friend Jim playing Jesus. And the interesting thing was his voice was that of Jesus.
How did he do the Aramaic? That's something I've always wanted
to
know. I didn't even ask him when we were sitting together at Cactus.
They had experts, you know, that were teaching him, and he would just do one scene at a time. So he would memorize it. You know, he would memorize what to say.
Unbelievable.
One scene at a time. And that's why the movie went so far.
Well, the Holy Spirit had to step into it. I mean, he got it. He nailed it.
Oh, he did. And so, it was Jim Caviezel, the actor, and his voice playing that role. But it was not it was not in English. It was in Aramaic and in Latin. So I thought, if we did an audio Bible and Jim, with his voice, did the role of Jesus in English, I think people would really want to hear that. So I pitched him my idea of a celebrity-voiced, fully dramatized, like a radio drama of the Bible, and he loved the idea, and so we set about to doing it. And what came out of it was the word of promise.
Now, why didn't you do a Catholic Bible to start with, Carl?
Well, Jim is Catholic and I'm Catholic, and so that was our full intention, was to do a Catholic Bible. But when we pitched it to the biggest distributors, which were Zondervan and Thomas Nelson Publishers, and still is, they were like, nope, we don't want to do a Catholic. We will do it, but it has to be Protestant. We just don't sell Catholic product, which was really a shocker to me, because there's more Catholics in the world than there are Protestants. Why not do a Catholic Bible for them? But they were just against it. So we did the Protestant version with the intention of, if it was successful, creating a Catholic Bible.
Yeah, and then you had to come to me to fund the Catholic Bible because they still didn't want to fund it for you.
Right, so we self-funded it. So there was nobody that wanted to fund it, so I went to my buddy Mike Stark and said, hey, let's do this. We're both Catholics. You know I can do it. I did this one. It was very, very successful. Look at all the stars we were able to get.
The awards
it.
The nominations
tons of awards.
And everything else.
I mean, that Bible had Marissa Tomei in it and Michael York and Richard Dreyfuss, on and on and on. Huge
Jason
stars.
Alexander?
Yeah.
You did an amazing job with that. And that's, you know, that's why for me, when you said you were doing it, I remember teasing you about calling you Bible Man. Now everyone calls me Bible Man, which is funny. But it did so well that it was just mind-boggling to me that nobody would want to get behind you and fund it. But when I went to take the money out from the funds to fund it, my financial people, like, Catholics are not Bible people. You don't want to do this. It's a bad investment. And you know what? It's evangelized so many people. I think of all the blind people and all the people that don't read and all the elderly people that aren't capable of reading and people like myself that didn't want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to listen to it, and you did really.
It's
fantastic!
Long book.
Yes, it's a long book, and I'd like to give our listeners a clip of the Crucifixion of Jesus, which is Bible expert Father Jim McElhone, who will be appearing on this show with me on the 30th of July. Cardinal George called him the most knowledgeable man on the Bible on the planet, right here in this very city, Archdiocese of Chicago. So here is. The Crucifixion Scene, John 19:17, from the Truth and Life Audio Bible,
so
which
they
you
took
made.
Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote a title and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. The chief priests of the Jews then said to Pilate,
do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, I am King of the Jews.
What I have written, I have written.
Now, those were some outstanding actors. Stacy Keach as St. John, Malcolm McDowell as the evil Caiaphas, and then our good friend Ned Bellamy as Pontius Pilate.
Yeah, and Neil McDonough as Jesus there. He doesn't do much talking, but you hear him.
That time you didn't. You just heard the nails being driven into his...
Yeah, and Neil McDonough, who you probably would know him from all kinds of different things.
I might know him.
He's in all kinds of things.
Obviously, I know him.
He is just a devout Catholic.
Tell everybody how long it took you to get him on board, because I remember we were kicking around the idea of who we wanted, who was our Jesus now. Who do we want to be Jesus?
Well... You know? Yeah,
tell us that story.
I was. We had a lot of people cast, including Stacy Keach and Sean Astin. Is Matthew in it? Does a great job.
John Rhys Davies.
Yeah, John Rhys Davies.
Kristen Bell from Frozen.
Kristen
all the
Bell.
Kids know who she is. Princess Anna.
We had Julia Ormond as Mother Mary. We had
Blair Underwood.
Blair Underwood is Mark. He's amazing. So. We hadn't been able to cast Jesus yet, so we were like, okay, we have all these great actors. Who's going to play Jesus? And I happened to be reading Variety, and there was this huge article about Neil McDonough, who had been cast as the star of a series. I can't remember the name of the series right now. And when he was cast as the star of this series on television, in his contract, he made sure it was written that he was not to do any nude scenes or any scenes with other women because he's a devout Catholic. He's married. He has children. He does not do that kind of stuff in his profession. He would never do that. And so they were filming, and they wanted him to do a scene, a sort of a partially nude scene. And he said, no, I won't do it. And they fired him, even though in his contract it said he would not do it. And so I read all about this, and I said, that's our Jesus. That's the guy. That's who we want.
And you reached out to him?
Reached out to him, and he signed on that day, that right. very day.
That's the fastest you've ever gotten him.
Yeah.
Very, very devout. We have to take yet another break, and coming out of the break, I think you guys will really enjoy the treat that we have for you.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
What was that, Carl?
The theme for Creature Feature.
And what was it called by whom?
Well, that was, the title is Experiment in Terror, and that was written and conducted by Henry Mancini.
Who did what else?
Oh, just the Pink Panther music.
Never heard that one either.
Yeah.
This is guest host Mike Stark, the producer of the Truth and Life Audio Bible, sitting in for Mary Helen Fiorito, who sits in for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. So where were we?
Well, speaking of Creature Feature, I think we have a star in the studio with us, Vincent Price. See him flying around here, the fly?
There is a fly in there. Yes.
that would have been on Creature Feature, the fly.
That would.
People remember the Jeff Goldblum movie, remember? That was pretty good.
It was.
But the original, Vincent Price as the fly.
Now, Vincent Price was Catholic.
Yes, he was.
Very devout Catholic.
And he played the saint on radio. He was the, Nick would know that. Nick knows his, Nick,
he's nodding,
Nick knows
he's
his
nodding
classic,
in the control.
I got to tell you what, I'm impressed with Nick. He knows his classic radio.
He does know his stuff.
Yeah, he does.
So you just got done talking about how Jim Caviezel, Neil McDonough, came on board to play Jesus, and how he was the fastest guy you got to sign up, and he was odd that he could play. Didn't he say something like, "This is the greatest role I'll ever play, even though I'm not visible"? You can talk. You don't need to nod.
He did. thinking, oh, we're on television here. No.
No, we're not.
You know, that was one of the things that really struck me. He said, you know what? This will be the greatest role I ever play in my career. I mean, he's just a devout Catholic, and he's a wonderful actor and a wonderful guy.
He did a fantastic job. People always ask me, okay, you guys have made the New Testament, which we made 7 years ago, and it was a nice rollout with the partners. We've got EWTN, Ignatius Press, which is now Late House, which is now tied in with the Augustine Institute. But they say, boy, you know, we've got the text in our app. That's for those of you who don't know by now, it's the Truth and Life Audio Bible, and it's the Truth and Life Bible app. But it's, you can go to www.downloadjesus.com. But the question that I get always is, when are you going to do the Old Testament? And I think you can explain to people. I'm tired of explaining it. I mean, we'll get there when we get there. It's in my daily intentions on my prayers. But how is it that we, you know, haven't done the Old Testament to this point?
Well, I mean, I think it will happen. We just need, the funding, which is, it's a very, very expensive proposition. The New Testament alone was $2 million because it's a 22-hour, I mean, we talk about the stars and the level of acting and the production values. It's 22-hour audio. The Old Testament is nearly four times longer. So just imagine.
Well, you've got the Psalms too that you can cut in, but I mean,
so it's just a matter of getting the funding, you know, putting the funding together. Hopefully, that will happen because I would love to see us produce a Catholic Old Testament and marry it with the New Testament and have the full Bible. It'd be great.
It's God's will. I do believe it'll happen. I mean, we already know. You've got the stars lined up, and I've got all our Catholic friends that want to be part of it. You know, we'll have a great crew because we'll need a lot more than just 80 actors for the Old Testament. And I know you've got the connections. And really, you do deserve all the credit for making this thing happen. I mean, you went out, you found all the people, and you know all these stars from your radio exploits and your radio show, but putting together the Twilight Zone radio dramas and some of the other audio projects you've done. I mean, you've made quite the name for yourself. Most people do, a lot of people, I shouldn't say most people, but a lot of people do know who you are. You know, they may think, oh, Carl Amari, where do I know that name from? They've heard your show at one point or another in the last 37 years. It's been 37 years.
What?
That's how old you
are.
Well, you're older than 37.
I've been on the air that long.
But that's a long time.
That's
man.
A long time.
You're a young boy. I mean, you're young. You're still playing baseball.
I'm only 24. How was I on the air that long?
Wasn't there a show about going back in time? Not Back to the Future
yes,
either.
Many,
a radio show.
Many radio shows about that.
Yes. Yeah, so what would you say, getting back to the audio, the old radio shows, what would you say is your favorite old-time radio show of
that's
all
a good
time?
One. I would have to say if there was one show that I had to listen to, like someone said, okay, you can only listen to this series from now until the end of your time, I would choose Suspense. Because Suspense...
Nick's nodding in the other room. He's like,
yeah,
that's the ticket.
Yeah, there was about almost 1,000 broadcasts of Suspense. I have almost all of them.
And they're all available how?
Well, I don't offer them all, but you can go to classicradiostore.com. There's a lot of them there. But in my library of Suspense, the great thing about Suspense is there was Westerns, there was detective shows, mystery, mostly mysteries, but they would do sci-fi shows. So there was they did really a lot of genres under the Suspense title. So it gives you a variety. Suspense gives you a variety. But if I had to choose a detective show, which I love detective shows, I would choose Boston Blackie. Boston Blackie, to me, was the best detective show.
And that's why we've got hamburger chains around in America today called Blackie.
Boston Blackie.
So that's good. Okay, now, if you were going to say the most successful radio to TV conversion, which was that?
Probably Gunsmoke, because on radio, Gunsmoke was very popular. But when it made the transition to television, it became the top like five show for 20 plus years. It was really one of the most successful television shows of all time. James Arness, obviously, as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon.
Right.
Completely different cast on TV. Most of these radio shows, when it made the transition, carried the same cast with it, like Ozzie and Harriet and Jack Benny and so forth. But Gunsmoke, completely different cast. William Conrad, who was Cannon, remember, on television, he was Marshall Matt Dillon on radio. But
that wouldn't work.
When it moved to television, they went with James Arness.
Yeah, well, that's true. I just had a conversation with a couple of my buddies the other day. We were talking about the toughest cowboy, and you had the Rifleman, Chuck Connors, who played Chuck first base for the Chicago Cubs.
He did.
You had James Arness, and then you got John Wayne. Who would win in a duel?
Yeah.
You don't want to go against John Wayne.
You know,
I watch
the Rifleman runs a lot on MeTV and things. And whenever it's on, I watch it. What a great show.
How do you have time to do anything with you? You got the radio show. You're up till the crack of dawn.
I know.
You haven't slept yet, have you?
No.
No. Okay. So
Well, a little bit. I slept a little bit.
In your car? In a van down by the river?
I was sleeping a little bit in the car. Yeah.
Well, your work is so important to so many people that can't get out, and they have this entertainment and what you've done with it. Because if it wasn't for you, Carl, I don't know who else would have done it with the passion that you have. There's always people looking to make a buck. But you did it from your heart with the old radio, and the same thing with the Bible. Like, I remember you coming to me saying how, you really wanted to make this Catholic Bible because you're Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And, people wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention, what did you do yesterday?
Yesterday?
Somebody's birthday? Whose birthday was it?
Oh, yeah, my mom's birthday. 90 years old. Yeah, my mom. Yeah. And her birthday was July 12th.
Right, but you celebrated.
90. Yeah, we celebrated a little bit. Yep, that was fun.
It's great to have her around this long, and for her to see what you've done.
And she listens every Saturday and Sunday night to the show. She stays up and listens to the radio show.
So she's not listening to this because she's sleeping probably.
She's probably sleeping. You
know, we'll give her a tape.
And
of this.
Congrats to you for being the host of this show and what you did.
Well, I'm just filling
Father
in.
George. I mean, that is amazing.
Cardinal George.
Cardinal George. Yeah.
He was Father George.
Well, he was Father George. I remember his father. I remember him way back when as Father George. But Cardinal George, that's an amazing documentary that you put together for him, and I just watched it, and it's amazing.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on board with it. I played golf at the pre-scouting at the seminary on Thursday, and Cardinal Supich came up to me and started talking about saying he's really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah,
so
it's spectacular.
We'll get everybody behind it. Like I said, there'll be a previous show. I said there'll be a premiere night at the University of St. Mary of the Lake Seminary, so there will be an opportunity. I mean, there'll be several showings, but that'll be the big night up in Mundelein. But I'm certain we'll be playing it here in Chicago as well before it goes on TV, because I think the most important thing, as Cardinal George would say, is that it's accessible to the folks that he served. They were the most important people to him next to his priests. His priests were number one, and then his people, his flock, as a priest,
so
as a pastor.
It's so evident in watching the documentary how much he loved his
people. Yeah, I hadn't talked to you about that.
Yeah.
Because it's very secret. Not too many people have seen
it. Secret squirrel.
Marco Mole, yes. Not many people have seen it yet.
Yeah.
So don't go sharing it. Don't leak it.
I won't leak it.
No leaking. So it's just been so good to have the opportunity to do that. And then when Mary asked me to fill in on this show, my good friend Father Tom Coyes does the Wednesday show here. And so they said, well, Mike, Mary's going to be gone. She said, I'll be gone for the month. And Armin says, well, we got, four shows. What are you going to do? And I have plenty of guests, but you are, this has been one of the most fun shows I've ever done, because we can tie religion in with pop culture.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure being on the show. Thanks, Mike.
Carl, it's been an honor. Thank you, everyone, whoever's listening out there. I appreciate it. I hope you were as entertained as I was. Again, this is till next week. This is Mike Stark sitting in from Truth and Life Audio Bible here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Bye-bye. But the inside is right. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?